If you have your copy of God's Word, turn again to Romans chapter 12 and look at verse 5, because that's the verse we've been looking at. And I'm going to share with you the message that's on my heart from God's Word. And Paul says that the body, talking about the church, that the church is made up of many members. And then he says in the King James, members one of another. And what he means there by members one of another is that members, we have an obligation to each other. And I've been sharing with you this week three obligations we have to each other. On Monday, we talked about our obligation is to do what?
Love.
To love one another. On yesterday, we talked about our obligation to do what?
To exhort
one another. And today, we're going to talk about our obligation to do what? To serve one another. And as I was thinking about that, think about this for just a moment. The first obligation, when we really love the church and love the people like we ought to love the people, Jesus says, by this shall all men come to know what? You're my disciple. That first obligation, when the people in the world can really see that we love one another, then we have an impact on the world. And they want to become a Christian. Think about that for just a moment. I want you to think about how these three obligations relate to one another. The first one is to show the world that we're Christians. Now look at the second one. Our obligation to exhort one another, to motivate one another, to comfort one another, to give hope to one another. That builds up the church. That shows the church that we care for one another. But then the third one. Remember, the first one shows the world. The second one shows the church. Today, I want to talk about the obligation to serve one another. You know what it demonstrates? It demonstrates to God that we appreciate what he's done for us. When we take the time to serve one another, this is the greatest way in the world to show God that we appreciate what he's done for us. Christianity, if you remember nothing else I'm going to say today, remember this. Christianity is a religion of serving people. Did you hear what I just said? Christianity is not a religion where we are to be served. Christianity is a religion of serving people. And why do we serve people? Because we want to show God how much we appreciate what he has done for us. Yes, we love one another, and we care deeply for one another, but when we love one another, we're showing the world that we're Christians. When we exalt one another, we show the church that we care for one another. But when we serve one another, we tell God, we show God that we appreciate what he's done for us. How do you know that? Turn to Matthew chapter 20. Look at verse number 28, Matthew chapter 20. Look at verse number 28. Listen to what Jesus says. You're familiar with the text. He says, the Son of Man came not to be ministered to. You see that? The Son of Man came not to be served, but the Son of Man came to serve and to give his life, what? A ransom. Christianity is not a religion where people are served. Christianity is a religion where we serve one another. And by serving one another, we display to God our love for him and our appreciation for what he's done for us. Someone put it in the music, put it in a song, and I love this song. God, make me what? A servant. God, make me a servant. What a beautiful song. God, make me a servant. So I can show God how much I appreciate what he's done for me. God, make me a servant that will visit the sick, a servant that will stay in the hospital when someone has a terminally ill mother, a father, a family member, and you don't know what to say, but just by being there, right, you speak volumes. Right. You see, in being there, you're telling God, even though you have a busy schedule, you're telling God, you took time for me, I can take time for your people. God, I appreciate God, make me. If there's one thing I need to work on, is serving others. As I was thinking about this, this is one I need to work on. God, help me. And today I'm preaching to myself. And so if you get anything from it, that's okay. But God, I got to preach to myself today. God, make me a better servant. God, make me a better servant. Help me to take the time to be a servant, to take the time to serve people so I can show you how much I appreciate you. God, make me a servant. We teach our children to pray for prosperity. We teach our children to pray for a lot of things. When was the last time we taught our children to pray to be a servant? Pray to be a servant, to serve others. We don't live in a nation that teach people to pray. I remember a time 30 years ago when I was at Freed Hartman University. You know, one of the largest programs at Freed Hartman 30 years ago was social work. A discipline that what? Serves others. We have less than 40 people majoring in social work today. You know why? We're getting out of that field of serving one another. God, help me. God, help me to be a better servant. God, help me. In the church, listen to this. In the church, if you want to be great, become an evangelist. No, that's not what the Bible says. If you're in the church, if you want to be great, become an elder. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says if you want to be great in the church, become a servant. Become a servant. Turn to Matthew chapter 20 again. Look at verse number 20. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 20, on one occasion, the mother of the boys, sons of Zebedee, she came to Jesus, and you know the story well. And she had John on one side and James on the other side. And she came up to Jesus, and James was on her right, and perhaps John was on the left. And she said, Jesus, I recognize you're the great master. As the Messiah, when you come into your kingdom, grant that James and John will sit on your right hand and on your left hand. You remember that? And you got the other 10 apostles there as well. And here are all 12, and here's the mother. That's just like a mother. Come on. That's just like a mother. Now, I'm going to beat the other moms, and I'm going to get there first. Let James be your right man, and let John be your left. Let them be vice presidents in your office, your cabinet. And you know what Jesus said? I don't have time to analyze it all, but drop down to verse 26 or 27. And he tells the disciples, as well as telling the mother Zebedee, that if you want to be great in my kingdom, become a servant. Verse 27, he says, if you want to be chief, become a slave. If you want to be great in the church, become a slave. Don't seek positions in the church. The church Christianity is not a religion where people serve you. Christianity is a religion where you serve people. Yes, by loving one another, you show the world. You show the world you're Christian. By taking time to comfort one another and encourage one another, you show the church you care for them. But when you take the time to serve, then you showing God you appreciate what he has done for you. And that's why, God, help me to be a servant. God, help me to be a better servant so that I can show the world and I can show you how much I love you. Knowing that's so important, Jesus realized that his death was pending. And so he decided to teach his disciples. He decided to demonstrate and to show them what it means to be great in the kingdom. You're familiar with the text of John chapter 13? As they were gathered around the table, and Jesus, knowing the hearts of what's going on in the mind of those 12 because of what the mother of Zebedee had already planted there. And jealousy was beginning to emerge and envy. You know, Zebedee's mom, she'd been there. And I'm just going to give her a name, Alice. That's my mother's name. And Alice had already said something she ought not to have said. And that is, I want Sammy to be preeminent in the church. And here's Peter and here's Bartholomew saying, well, Mama, I want you to go and tell Jesus. And so Jesus knows that after his death, if he doesn't set this thing right, the church will never be what he wanted it to be, serving other people. And so as they were sitting there eating, he gets a bowl and he gets a towel. And he goes up to Bartholomew and he starts washing Bartholomew's feet. And when he got with Bartholomew, he went over to James. And then he went to John. And then he got to Peter. Remember when he got to Peter to start washing Peter? Peter said, wait a minute, Jesus. You're not going to wash my feet. Peter, I need to wash your feet. Jesus, you're not going to wash my feet. Peter, shut up. I need to wash your feet. You're not going to wash my feet. Jesus, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you're not going to have any part in this ministry. Oh, don't just wash my feet. Wash my hands. Wash my head. Peter, I don't want to give you a bath. That's not my purpose, is to give you a bath. My purpose is to teach you something, Peter. What is it? Here's the point. If I'm your Lord and your master, if I am your Lord and your master, and if I have served you, that's the point. If I have served you, then Peter, James, Bartholomew, you all need to serve one another. Y'all don't need to be envious about who's going to be the greatest, who's going to be this and who's going to be that. You need to serve one another. You want to show me you appreciate me? You want to show me that you appreciate what I've done for you? You serve one another. That's what it means to be a Christian. Oh, God help me to be a better servant. I tell you, I need to improve in this area here. I need to be a better servant. I appreciate what God has done for me so much, and I need to take the time. I need to learn to take the time to really let people know how much I love God, and how much I can show them is by taking the time to serve his children, to serve his people. That's what it means to be a Christian. Let me show you someone who got it. You know, sometimes as a teacher, you know what makes a teacher's eyes just bright up is when a student didn't comprehend what you were saying, and all of a sudden the light goes off, and you just say, oh, man. And when you give a test, and that one student comes back that makes 100, and you just said, oh. Well, there was a man that got what it meant to be a Christian. I just want to be like him. I talked a little bit about him yesterday, and every time I think about him, I just, God help me to be a Barnabas. You see, Barnabas got it. Turn to Acts chapter 11. We looked at it yesterday, didn't have much time. But in Acts chapter 11, there was a church of Gentiles down in Antioch that needed a preacher. And at this time, most of the preachers were Jews. And guess who they sent down to preach? Barnabas. I wonder why they didn't send Peter. Oh, I wish I had time to work on that one. Peter would not have been good down there, okay? Peter would have had some problems with some cultural differences. So God didn't send Peter down there, but sent Barnabas. But when Barnabas got down there, he realized, man, I need somebody to help me. He remembered a man named Saul. He went and found him in Tarsus and brought Paul down to help him. And guess what? When notice, his assistant was Paul. Here's Barnabas. He's the preacher. He's the preacher. But he got what it meant to be a Christian. Let me show you. For years, it was Barnabas and Paul. Look at Acts 12. Look at verse 25. And you see there is Barnabas and Paul. Barnabas and Paul. But now look in Acts chapter 15. Look at verse number 2. In Acts 15, it changes. And it's no longer Barnabas and Paul. It's what? Paul and Barnabas. But guess something. Why do you not see Barnabas jump up and say, well, hold it, Paul. No, your name can't go before mine. It's going to be Barnabas. You know what? Paul, Barnabas knew what it meant to be a servant. That in the church, it doesn't matter whether somebody else pats you on the back. It doesn't matter if someone else give you a notoriety. It matters when God gives it to you. It is so great when Christians can work together and some envy and jealousy doesn't exist in the church. You see, that's what makes the church great. It's when brothers and sisters have the ability to work together and they're not concerned about who's going to get notoriety. Amen?
Amen.
Barnabas got it. And there are so many in the church who haven't gotten it. God help me not to be concerned about what people are going to say about Sam Jones. Help me be concerned about what people are going to say about God because of me. Help me to so serve that people can see God. Amen? Is that all right? Very quickly, in order to become a servant, there are two ingredients necessary, at least two. In order to become the servant that pleases God, there are two ingredients that are necessary. Two ingredients that are necessary. The first one, turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. Look at verse 10. I call this the Peter's principle. Peter, after being rebuked by Paul, he finally got it. He finally got it. It took him a while. Peter was Sam Jones. It just take him along. Some people get it the second day. Peter had to get it the fifth year. Okay? Peter is that individual that instead of graduating in 4 years from Freed Hartman University, Peter would have to go in there 7 or 8 years. Okay? That's Peter. But Peter finally got it. And now he's going to tell us why we ought to serve one another. 1 Peter 4, look at verse 10. I'm going to paraphrase it. But I think I'll be true to the verse. The latter part of verse 10, he says, God has demonstrated his grace to the world and to us in many ways. Think about that for just a moment. God has demonstrated his love, his grace for us in many ways. And he says, now be a servant. Be a servant. And with the gift God has given you, serve others. That's verse 10. With the gift, God has given us different gifts. Amen. He said, with the gift, it could be that God has blessed you to have money. Use that to serve others. It could be that God has blessed you with the ability to smile and greet people. Use that to serve others. It could be whatever it is. Look at verse 11. He says in verse 11, if God has given you the gift of speaking, speak as the oracles of God. Speak so that your words be as though they came from whom? God himself. Then he says, if you have the gift of serving, if you have the gift of serving, serve with all your ability, all with your strength, that God may receive what? The glory, the praise. What are you saying in verse 10? He says, Sammy, here's Peter's principle. You ought to serve others so that God knows that you appreciate what he's done for you. You get it? That's why. That's why you don't mind when you're tired. And there's someone that's in the hospital, you're going to go by and check on them. You don't mind when there's a sister or brother that needs something, you may go by and say, let me clean up for you. Let me wash for you. Let me iron for you. And you say, well, I got to do that for my family, but you don't mind doing it for them because, God, I want to show you how much I appreciate you. You don't mind cooking a little extra. You don't mind. There's a brother back in Henderson. He's blind. Has a daughter that stays with him. And about 2 weeks ago, his daughter was cooking something and she burned the kitchen down. So they went about 10, 11 days with no kitchen. No kitchen. Guess what? I said, Rhonda's going to cook anyway. I said, brother, guess what? We're going to bring you a meal every day. And we did. And the word got back to me that there was someone in the church who said, well, why are Sam and Rhonda cooking for brother so-and-so? They're not cooking for us. I couldn't believe it. I said, don't even tell me who said that. Don't even tell me who said that. They missed it. They missed it. They missed it. God, help me not to miss it. God, help me not to miss it. Peter's principle is that we are willing to go beyond what's expected of us because we want to show God we appreciate what he's done for us. Here's a second ingredient. The second ingredient is to have a heart of humility, having the right perspective about yourself, to not think more of yourself than you ought to. When you have this ingredient with that appreciation, it's amazing what you can do. So Jesus decided, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about, Sammy. You see, sometimes people need a picture. The words just don't capture it. He said, so let me give you a picture. Turn to Luke chapter 18. Look at verse 10. He says, this is what I'm talking about. He says, there were one day two men went to the temple to pray. You know the story now. And the first one was a Pharisee. And he went to the temple and he stood before God. He said, God, thank you. I'm such a great man. God, I'm such a great man. I pray three times a day. God, I'm such a great man. I don't use any profanity. I go to church every Sunday. I haven't missed Bible study in 20 years. I am such a great man. I am such a great person. I'm so thankful that I'm not like that old sorry David over there. I'm not like him. But then David went to pray. God, forgive me, a sinner. Which one do you think God was pleased with? The one with the right attitude. The right attitude. Christianity is not talking about how great you are. Christianity is about serving. It's about serving. It's about serving. God, help me to be a better servant. I'm going to close with reading some verses to you that I was going to quote, but I got to read it to you. And when I read these verses, I can't read them without getting emotional. Because they talk about what it means to be a Christian. I'm not going to even tell you where it's found, because you'll know.